The grandfather was talking to his grandson, telling him one of his stories from a while back. And as he got into the details, his grandson looked at him, "Grandpa, did that really happen? I don't think so." And the grandson kind of persisted in not believing the grandpa's story. So the grandpa just kind of ended the story and moved on. When we communicate, we do like to know that the person we're talking to believes what we're saying. The reason that grandpa stopped sharing his story was because, well, his grandson really didn't believe it. Just kind of not very fun to talk to someone when they don't believe what you're saying, when they're skeptical, or you know, you either have to stop the story and deal with that, or just kind of not share it. That serves to illustrate how important it is that we believe what we're saying. We believe in the one we're communicating with. There was a time in my life when my prayers were, I just said them. I didn't really believe. I mean, I'm sure there was times I did. But I didn't really have a whole lot of faith in God as I would pray. And as a result, I would often, you know, lose interest. Is God actually hearing my prayer? And what made the biggest difference is when I realized that God actually does hear my prayer. He's interested in my prayers. And as I pray in faith, believing, and I pray His truth, knowing, wow, that's when prayer all of a sudden becomes really interesting. Prayers that are not believed are not very interesting. They're not very delightful. It's like talking to someone or hearing someone tell an old story that you know is not true. Are you interested in hearing it? No. And are you interested in telling someone a story that's not interested in hearing it, doesn't believe you? No. That destroys communication. But you have a good story, some good truth, to people that are receptive, and boy, the communication flows, doesn't it? It's the same way with prayer. Same way with prayer. We're going to talk about the prayers of faith, and we're going to be going to prayer here soon. So Rob set us up for a great, great alone time. Go before the Father alone in the disciples' prayer from the Sermon on the Mount. Excellent instruction. And so we get to have that time alone before the Lord, and that is a powerful time to set us up for our corporate prayer this evening. But I just want to encourage us to pray prayers of faith. Prayers of faith. And so, a couple points to remember as we pray prayers of faith. And again, prayers of faith are the only way to pray. It's the only interesting way to pray. And again, if you have problems staying focused on the Lord when you're praying, try praying in faith. It makes all the difference. It really makes a huge difference. I know it sounds cliche. I know it sounds a little bit interesting. But boy, if that's not... That is the issue in prayer. It's one of the major issues. To pray the truth. And to pray the truth in faith. And so I can't tell you how long it takes me in my prayer time. Each time, even today. Until I get into actually now I'm praying in faith. And it just takes time to work through all of the... You know, got to tell God this, and I want to share this, and what about this, and I want to think about that, and I want to process this, and, you know, distractions come up, right? And then finally, it's different. It's not always the same, but it's how we communicate, you know? If we just, hey, how you doing? And, Look at how we communicate. We haven't seen each other, and then, but you know, you leave us alone for a little bit, and now we're getting into some heart level stuff, right? But we don't often start there. Prayers of faith. Why do we pray prayers of faith? Well, Jesus told us to. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Jesus promises that as we pray prayers of faith according to his word, that we can believe that we have what we asked for. And so I preached this text a couple weeks ago so I could ask a follow-up question. How's it going? How has the prayers of faith been going in your life? I hope that sermon encouraged you. This passage always encourages me. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it, the psalmist says. And so I want to open my mouth wide. Oh God, what can I pray for? What can I pray for? I mean, this is an amazing promise. And the prayers of faith define this. The prayers of faith trust this. So we go to the Lord and we ask. And when we ask, we don't want to ask amiss. We don't want to ask to spend it on our pleasures. We want to ask according to His will. And when we know His will, which is the revealed will of God, the moral will of God, the scriptures, the commands of God, we know that it will be given as we ask in faith. And that's just an amazing promise. That's an amazing promise. So after I preached this a couple weeks ago, being more mindful of that, different anxieties, different concerns would come into my heart. I'm like, oh yeah, I can pray in faith. Woo-hoo! And I just shoot those prayers up there. And it helps me just stay focused on the Lord's will. Remember, prayer doesn't change God, it changes us. Right? As Rob talked about that tension. Prayer changes us. Prayer changes circumstances. Prayer work, God has ordained the means by which He'll accomplish, and it's prayer. Right? So if you don't pray, guess what? You're going to pay. You're going to have unanswered prayer. If you don't have faith in God, guess what? You're not going to have any fun praying. Praying is fun. It's actually fun to pray when you pray in faith. I actually enjoy praying when I'm praying in faith. In contrast, it's boring to pray when I don't pray in faith. So if you have a boring prayer life and you can't stay focused, it could be because you're not born again. It also could be because you don't pray in faith. I mean, that's how it's been with me. And so, but when you actually think, now think about this. You're praying to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Who are you praying to, right? How is your view of God? If you're praying to the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who owns everything and can do everything and anything that is consistent with who He is, like, that's good, right? He can't lie. Then how would that encourage you to pray? If you believed God actually heard your prayer, how would that encourage you to pray? See what I mean? It's amazing. If you believe God actually heard your prayer, if you believe that God was interested and you believe that what you asked for, it will be given to you. Yeah, but I've prayed that before and it didn't come to pass. Well, why do you think that is?
The Lord says no sometimes.
God says no. Right.
And he answers in His own timing.
And He answers in His own timing. Ask, seek, knock. Right? For everyone, it's a participle. Who is asking receives. So there may be a time where He may be wanting you to be asking and waiting on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as the eagles. The wind, God's will, may need to come in and take and lift you up. He may be testing your faith. He may be seeing if you have a genuine faith in asking Him. But when we ask according to His will, 1 John 5 says we know that we have the petition that we've asked. And so we can begin to thank Him for the things that we've asked Him for. We can actually pray in faith, believing that what we have, He will in fact give it to us. 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. Pretty clear passage of Scripture. So we can ask believing. And so what are the things that we ask for? To hallow his name. To have a sincere faith. There's 2 points to prayer. That's Sermon on the Mount. Be sincere and be structured, right? That was an awesome outline. Be sincere. Rob took all those points and summarized them. Sincerity. The inside matches the outside. So as I'm going to go hallow the name of God, oh God, is my inside the same as my outside? Am I consistent with who you say I should be? Am I confessing my sins? To hallow your name. To glorify your name. To put you first. Your greatness is my concern. I'm going to ask that your greatness. Lord God, and as I look around me, I see that there's people not doing your will on earth. So I'm going to pray that they would acknowledge your will. Acknowledge your greatness. Acknowledge your sovereignty. Acknowledge your glory. Acknowledge you're the creator. Lord, put that in my heart and help me to communicate that. And I pray that they would see that. That they would hallow your name. Most of all, that your church would hallow your name. Because we come to our Father, right? This is a message for our Father as we come before Him. So that's a corporate issue. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You could get lost in that prayer. Now, if you don't pray that in faith, that's boring. Right? You want to hear your grandfather tell you stories you don't believe? You want to go to a God who you don't think hears you? Or you don't believe in Him? On the other hand, if you go in praying of faith, you build your life on the Word of God. You build your prayers on the Word of God. You build your dependency upon God to hallow His name, to seek His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, we know it's going to ultimately be done in heaven. But the glorious thing is here is on earth. That on earth is huge. That's not a little deal. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know God's will is done perfectly in heaven. God says go, they go. The angels go. They don't ask Him, right? But on earth, we can go up to people and say, repent and believe in the gospel, and they walk away. They walk away. They turn their back on the will of God. And that should not be. Okay, this is my Father's world. He created it. Hallowed be your name. There's people on earth that aren't glorifying God. They're not doing His will. They're sinning. That's what sin is. Sin is against the will of God. They're not doing His will. So we have the privilege to pray that His will would be done on earth like it is in heaven. And that's the essence of advancing His kingdom. Now, His kingdom rules over all. He's the judge. You're not going to get away with that sin. We get to pray that. And as we believe that, God works His will out in such a way that we get to experience it on earth. That's fun. Are you kidding me? Awesome. Command Central Station? Wherever God is, I can go to command. That's what Rob used to say when I first met him all the time. What'd you used to say, Rob? Remember, you'd get all worked up, start jumping up and down? I get to go to the God of creation and pray to Him! I loved it. I loved it. I was doing all the amens, trying to get Rob's amen meter up. Come on, if that's what it takes to get you to do that, then I'll do it. We get to go to the God of creation and work out His will. See His will. We get to participate. Now, I can't understand all that. God is sovereign, man is responsible. That's the way it is. I take it by faith. God is always sovereign, and we're always culpable. We're always responsible. And actually, we're responsible because God is sovereign, if you think about it. But we get to participate in that. He invites us into walking out His will on earth as it is in heaven. What is the will of God? The Word of God. The commands of God, right? And so, His kingdom come, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Specifically, and I don't want to re-preach Rob's sermon, but I'm going to take a little detour here. I want to talk about the discipline of work. The discipline of work. Matthew 6, the prayer of faith in the discipline of work and provision and economics. And my prayer is that we would have a kingdom focus on economics. Okay? So we all have a concern to provide, to take dominion. Right? And it's a glorious thing because there's a natural desire in there of a need to produce things for God's glory and for the good, for others, family, and so on and so forth. And so there's the temptation there to be anxious, right? To be anxious and to worry about these things. That's Matthew 6. That's the context. And Jesus said, "Oh, you have little faith. The Gentiles seek after these things, but your Father knows what you need." And then he gives the contrast. And the issue is faith here. He says, "But you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." So the concern for economics is what? That we seek first his kingdom, which is his will on earth as it is in heaven. And don't forget, and his righteousness. Because God's will is righteous. If you're seeking his kingdom first and his righteousness, God says, all these other things will be added unto you. Does that mean you don't work? No, because that would be unrighteous, wouldn't it?
Right.
See, the righteousness is includes things like Proverbs 10:4, right? Which says, and I'll read it, there's principles, there's dominion work to do. So a God-centered view of economics, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Proverbs 10:4. 10:4, good buddy. A slack hand, poor. A diligent hand, produces. So as I pray the prayer of faith, let's tie it together now, and I have a Christ-centered view of economics, which is a major part of a man's life, it's a major part of our disciplines, one of my main prayers is what? That I would have the character to be diligent. To not have a slack hand, but to work hard. Right? That I'd have the wisdom to know how to work. The diligence. And that God would bless that. That's, now, the most important thing in your work is what? Prayer. Prayers of faith. How are you going to go anywhere without faith? Faith is what moves us to God. Faith is what advances His kingdom. I want His kingdom to be done through my work. Amen? You want God's kingdom to come through your work. What kind of work? All the work you do. Right? And God has created man to work. He put him in the garden to what? Sit there and watch TV? He put him in the garden to work. Right? To work. To take dominion. And we raise our children to work. Good works, the good works that God has prepared in advance that we should walk in them. So part of this, the prayers of faith include, they include everything. I'm just making a specific application into work. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. All these things will be added. You have prayers of faith? Man, it's fun to pray like that. Right? It's fun. You can pray to God all that stuff. Right? We want revival in the church. Those are good works. We pray these things. We seek these things. We ask of these things. And we pray in faith, God might just give you diligence. What do you think? Amen. If you have questions of God, do you think he might answer those? I think he will. In his time, in his way, for his glory, refining us along the way. Yeah, but isn't that just an excuse for unanswered prayer? No. No. Sometimes that does shake our faith because God doesn't answer it the way or in the time that we would think He should or would hope. But how many times then have we just quit praying? Ooh. And then our prayers become boring again. No. We pray in faith, believing, and then you see, oh, this is how the Lord answers. Let's talk about a kingdom focus of economics. So let's turn to Colossians 3, spiritual discipline of work. And again, you will never have a spiritual discipline of anything unless you're first praying about it. You must be praying. You win it through. It's the Gethsemane. Before you go to the cross, you got to go to Gethsemane. Before you have a God-centered vision and experience of anything, you win it in your prayer closet alone before God. That's it. That is totally it. Totally it. Colossians chapter 3. So, prayers of faith. Well, we could talk about anything with the prayers of faith, because anything the Scripture talks about. I'm just picking on work. We could go to wives and husbands and family life. We're going to cover that tomorrow. So I'm going to skip down to 22. God's, how in the world are we going to do this? You're going to do it by faith, and you win it through prayers. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as man pleasers, but in sincerity of heart. There it is, that word. There's sincerity. Fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. There's a recipe for praying of faith. Heartily as unto the Lord. So you're here, you're working for your master, and he comes in and he says, I want you to do X, Y, and Z and do this and that and come over here. And you mean to tell me you're going to do that heartily as unto the Lord without praying? No way. The gospel advances through a Christian man's work ethic. And that's a God-centered view. I mean, the majority of our lives, we're working. You're working at home, you're working in the field, you're working. And so to have a God-centered view of work is incredibly important. So this is an issue of a prayer of faith. Because we are not to look at our masters according to the flesh. We're not to be serving them. We're to be respecting them and being motivated by Jesus Christ, fearing God, and doing it not as unto men, but unto the Lord. Just like every discipline, every spiritual discipline has a singular focus. Christ, His will, His glory, His kingdom. Oh, teach me to pray. Prayers of faith. Because the way you get that is through your prayer closet. Alone, when nobody sees you. How in the world can you stand before people and not be overwhelmed by what they think of you if you've not first stood before God and been overwhelmed of what He thinks of you? You can't. You cannot. There's no way. But if you stand before God alone, I love to be alone with God. There's so many people looking at me all the time. It's wonderful to be alone. Just, I want to be alone. Right? I like to be with people, but I like to be alone sometimes too. And that's the only way. Because when you're alone with God, you know what? God knows. And then He becomes the single most important thing in your life. And then you pray to faith in Him. And then you submit your economic desires to Him and your prayers of faith. And you can see, wow, wherever God sends you, into the fire department, into the library, into the construction world, into the sales world, telecommunications, all of these worlds that we're living in, all these different places, right? And you say, you know what? Here's the issue. I'm going to fear God, not man. I'm not going to compromise the Word of God, period. I think a lot of men lose their Christian witness through compromise at the workplace. Whether it's telling the jokes, whether it's doing unethical work, how many Christian businessmen who compromise their Christian principles, well, I was told to do it. The Bible doesn't say you should compromise Christian principles. Now, you have to have wisdom there, but in terms of this, fearing God, in sincerity of heart, fearing God, and whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. So we should not be doing wrong at work. We need to be working hard, we need to be working diligently, not fearing man, but fearing God, advancing His kingdom. And if you start living, if you start praying that way, listen, if you start praying that way, and then you start living that way, try that for 1 week and come back and tell me if your prayer life has not gone crazy. Oh my goodness, you're never going to guess what happened. I just got threatened with my job. Now you're going to pray. All right? See what I'm saying? I remember when I was a group home, I worked at the group home, and my boss came to me and said, Jason, you cannot bring your Christian faith into here. I was teaching moral development. Okay? Well, moral development to me meant what? We're having a funded Bible study that Jason gets to teach to all the inner city kids. Okay? That's what that meant to Jason Young. Okay? And so I'm having Bible studies with the kids and the staff, and of course they're complaining, and my boss says to me, you can't do this here. I had the nun actually step up for me. The nuns were on my side. But you have to separate your faith. Exact quote. You have to, I appreciate you're a Christian, Jason, but leave your faith over there and come here. This is a secular environment, even though it had a Catholic roots to it, okay? I'm like, he's like, you can't do that. I'm like, that's okay. I said, I respectfully, I can't do that. I mean, I'm going to listen. If you tell me I can't teach the Bible study, I'm going to listen to that, right? But I'm not going to separate. So I'm going to be respectful of what you're telling me to do. But I can't separate my faith from my life. No, I can't do that. So if they ask me questions about God, I'm going to or moral stuff, it's going to be from a biblical perspective. I'm not going to pretend that I'm not a Christian. See? So in other words, he said, well, you know, that might cost you your job. Okay. Now you start. Now guess what? Guess what a help that is in your prayer life. Right? See what I'm saying? That's how you get cooking. That's how you get praying. Is when you take, when you have faith, faith moves you to God, and now you're stepping out, and now you're witnessing, or now you're, see what I mean? You're missing the opportunities. And that's why your prayer life's so dull. And that's why my prayer life is dull. I remember one time I was out in the middle of the Gila River, out like here, and I got this overwhelming burden to witness to somebody. And wouldn't you know, I turn around, and there's a guy. It was like out in the middle of nowhere, and there's a guy out there fishing. Wow, this is so fun! Right? Answer the prayer, I get to go witness to him. See, it's the prayers of faith. Believing God. You're going to pray by faith. If you pray by faith, you will live by faith. And if you live by faith, you'll pray by faith. Again, you know I'm not talking perfection. This is the road, though. This is the Christian life. This is what Christians do. They ask, and they seek, and they knock. And a Christian work ethic is to work hard, fearing God. And whatever you do it heartily, you're putting your whole heart into it. You're advancing His kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. 1 Corinthians 7, Paul says, if you're called by a slave, hey, then live as a slave. Be content as a slave. But if you can get your freedom, boy, get your freedom. Be content with the calling God has for you. But whatever you're doing, it's about one thing. It's about seek first the kingdom of God. That breaks the kingdoms of this world. The darkness of this world. That breaks the power where God's will is not being done. We are sent into this world to do His will. Where His will is not being done. They're not working heartily as unto the Lord. They're working unto themselves. And everybody's feared of the boss, is afraid of the boss, and they're working for the boss. And as soon as He turns His back, everybody quits working. Well, see, as Christians, we don't do that. We don't live by this world. We live to His kingdom, to do His will. And so the boss turns around, we work harder. The boss isn't there, we're working harder. We don't want to cut corners. Why? Because we're not working as unto men. The men didn't give us the job, the man can't take the job. Who gives us the power to get wealth? God. Who gives us the paycheck at the end of the day or the week? God. Who owns the cattle in the thousand hills? God. And if you start praying that way, and you start living that way, guess what? Guess who's going to be loving to pray? I can't wait to get to my prayer closet. I'm about ready to lose my job, or I'm about ready to get a promotion. But your life is not going to stagnate. God-centered view of economics. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. So it goes on both sides. for employees and employers, those who have responsibility. Again, you want to be responsible, you want to start businesses, you have to do that before the Lord. He's the one who does these things. Now, key component to this is the reward, right? Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Beautifully put. Amen and amen. His kingdom come, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We do what is right, not pleasing man, but to please God. As we pray the prayers of faith in that way, He opens the doors that only He can open, and that enables us to do what Revelation speaks in Revelation 1, 2, 3, to the churches. What's the key thing to all the churches? Key thing to all the churches, no matter what they're in, no matter what they're facing, Jesus Christ says He wants His people to overcome. Overcome. For some, that may be you're going to be faithful to death. For some, that may be you're going to rule over nations. But the key is He has called us to overcome. So in this country, we're planted here, and God's will is for His church, is for you and I, to overcome this world. And how do we overcome this world? By faith. We don't be overcome by evil, but we overcome evil with good. Now you start praying the prayers of faith that you would overcome evil with good, and you start living that way, and guess what? You're going to have a lot to pray about. You're going to have a lot of stuff coming at you, right? And if you understand what's going on, boy, you're going to be praying that you may overcome. Now here's the, I love this verse. At the end, Revelation 21 verse 5. Then He who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And He who said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And He said to me, "It is done." And that holds a special part in my heart. It is done. You know, to me, it is done. That's my goal, is to be faithful to the end. It is done. And I'm going to get that. So I'm going to be done one day, right? We're going to be done. It's hard. We're going to be done. There's an end point. I took my first breath and I'm going to take my last breath, unless Jesus comes before then, right? Which He could. But it is, and it's done. It's done. And we're going to stand before God. And He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son."
Amen.
That's a motivator. That's a motivator. So my plan is to overcome everything God has for me. To be an overcomer. We are more than overcomers through Him who loved us. And in the specific cultural milieu that I'm placed in, the purpose is to overcome it by faith. And not to be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Hallelujah.
And as I do that, He'll be my God. He'll give me the inheritance. How are you going to do that? Pray by faith. Prayers by faith. Praying tons of prayers by faith. Because that will encourage you to live by faith. And as you live by faith, you'll believe Jesus' promises. You'll believe Jesus' kingdom. Advance His kingdom. No matter where you are. We just made a specific application to economics. Certainly it's same in family life. Same in church life. Touch on those tomorrow. At the end, His reward to he who overcomes. The prayers of faith believe Jesus. The prayers of faith also believe Jesus' gospel. Turn to Psalm 32. So as we believe the gospel, which is the catalyst for faith, we believe what this says. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." So you believe the gospel, you have the forgiveness of sins. As you pray the prayers of faith, that's going to result in thanksgiving to God. And when you think about all your sins, as the law reveals your sins, and all your sins are forgiven, that is an amazing grace. An opportunity to praise and worship Him. Thank you, God, for the forgiveness of sins. And where His kingdom is not done, where those who do not know Him, we can pray in faith that God would save sinners from their sins. And that motivates us to witness. It's all connected. It's all our walking out of the Christian life. But this gospel that we have believed results in the forgiveness of sin. And that's a blessing. It's approved by God. It's a blessing to have our transgressions forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord is not. He doesn't count our iniquities. Why? Because they've been forgiven. Because Christ died for our sins and rose again from the dead. Now, that forgiveness motivates something else, and that motivates the confession of sin. And the psalmist goes to that confession, verse 3. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groanings all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer until something happened. So you ever been in that place where you are convicted of your sin? You know that something's not right. There's something between you and God. And you want to talk about, the psalmist said, Psalm 66, if I had regarded iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have answered. So there's something too, that storm cloud that comes in between you and God, that keeps, that darkens that sweet fellowship. And that's sin. And God puts His hand heavy upon you. And what does He do? He slowly puts pressure on your soul till we say, "Ow!" And I acknowledge my sin to you. That's what He wants us to do. He wants us to confess our sin. He talks about the blessing. The psalmist says, what a blessing to have your sin forgiven, right? And then he remembers, oh, the convicting hand of God just was heavy upon me. Heavy upon me. Through my groanings all the day. There's something not right. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality, I just feel like the drought of summer. Instead of the green foliage just growing and things just flourishing, I'm just getting dried up. If you're not having the spiritual disciplines of faith, how are you going to catch that? Right? If you're not having the spiritual disciplines of faith, how are you going to catch that you're drying up? You're not. In your economics. If you're, you know what that looks like in your economics? Worry. Oh my goodness. What are we going to do? What are we going to eat? How are we going to make this happen? And you know what you're not going to do? You're not going to seek His kingdom and the righteousness and the will of God that you need to get the job, to get the skill, to get the wisdom that you need to provide. Where does that come from? God. How do you love your wife? How do you train your children? How do you do anything good? You're overcome by evil. You're not going to be an overcomer. You're going to be overcome by evil. You're going to walk around humdrum. Your prayers are going to stink. It's going to be boring to pray to God if He even listens at all. You walk around defeated, overcome by evil. Oh. Do you want to follow me as I follow Christ? You don't have a witness. And that's what happens when sin. Spiritual disciplines are there, purposed in our life, highest priority in our life to seek God. Because we all get into the place like this. But we have spiritual disciplines. Maybe I have some sins to confess. Maybe His hand is upon me. Maybe I'm being convicted. Maybe the drought of summer is in my life, and there it is. And the Lord just convicted me of it. And I acknowledge my sin to you. And I acknowledge my sin to you. And I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. God, forgive me for not praying the prayers of faith. It always goes back to that. Always goes back to faith. Always go back. God, forgive me for not trusting you, and I didn't trust in you. I took my eyes off you, and therefore I started cutting corners. I was ashamed of your gospel. I wasn't witnessing. I wasn't whatever. I'm looking at porn. Being lazy. I'm just working to please men, not please you. I'm going to do my charitable deeds to be seen by men. I'm not all the stuff that just unravels the whole Christian life, and it just goes. I acknowledge my transgressions to you. I confess my sins to you. Whatever that may be. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you. Why should we pray to God? Because no matter what mess you find yourself in, God grants forgiveness. No matter what mess, no matter how far you may have drifted, no matter how bad you may have messed up your life or messed up the lives of others, for this cause, what cause? Because He forgives sins. Everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to seek the Lord. This is the time the Lord may be found. He is able. He is willing. He listens to His children's prayers. Let's come to the throne of grace and find the help in time of need. We're to overcome. We've got some things to pray for. God's will is not being done on earth as it is in heaven. We got some stuff to pray about so that His will, so that we can be the conduits, the big pipe that Rob talked about, the channel of blessing His will where it's not being done. And that always starts where? My heart, with me. That I may confess my sin of not doing His will, of not trusting in Him, prayerlessness. Having a poor work ethic in my Bible study, in my seeking of the Lord. Scripture memory. All that takes work, doesn't it? It's all spiritual labor. Spiritual labor is the most beneficial labor you'll ever do. If you master spiritual disciplines, if you give yourself to these spiritual disciplines, the rest of your life, that's guarding your heart, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. If you can discipline your heart and mind to seek Jesus Christ in your prayer and in disciplined Bible study by faith, all these other things will be added unto you. How hard is it to go to work then and work for a boss that might be cranky if you've already disciplined your flesh that wants to scream and run away and go do your own thing? You learn to submit and stay before God and be mostly concerned with His eyes and His smile, then the frowns of men, they don't mean so much. They just don't mean that much. For this cause, what cause? Confession of sin. What sin will keep you from Jesus? Is there a sin in your life that will keep you? For this cause. This is why everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not come near him. The flood of great waters is a troublesome time, a judgment. When God's bringing judgment, it's not the time to come near. That's the wicked do that. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. So in a time of great waters, they shall not come near him. That's his judgment. But me, you are my hiding place. You shall, as the psalmist is saying, you shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverances. So in the time of judgment, in the time of trouble, when the wicked are not going near to God, what's God doing to the righteous, those who call upon him? He's hiding them, he's preserving them from trouble, and he's surrounding them with songs of deliverance. Amen. Sounds like someone's got a testimony here. Right? Someone's got a testimony. How do you get that? By faith. I'm totally optimistic about the future for those who have faith. Totally optimistic. I'm totally pessimistic if you don't have faith. The future brings hope. Why? Because Jesus is coming again. That sums up all the hope right there. All of it, isn't that? He's coming again, and His kingdom will be fully established on earth as it is in heaven. Completely. Okay? He's going to do away with death. Until then, there's going to be a struggle. But in that struggle, there's a great reason to hope. Why? Because He brings His will on earth as it is in heaven. So, I have every reason to be optimistic. Now, I get overwhelmed like you. And that leads me to feel, it's hopeless, or it's just too much, whining. right? And I hear myself whine, and I think it's the most ridiculous thing. It's like, why do I ever whine? I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
That's right.
And all I need to do is go to my prayer time and not pray in faith for a little while, a whine, which is kind of faith. It is faith. The psalmist whine, right? But then that just gets it out of my head, and then I can go right to the throne.
Right.
It's a clear vision and a clear faith. God, say, God, I want that mountain, right? I want that mountain. That's the mountain you promised me. You promised Caleb the promised land. Caleb, I want that mountain. God, I want revival. Mm-hmm. I want revival. I want a multi-generational legacy. It's in your word. I want these things. I want strong, godly leadership. I want men to have a work ethic. I want women that have a work ethic in their homes. I want to kick the snot out of feminism, out of the men first and then the women. Men first and then the women. I don't appreciate feminism. And I'm not happy how feminism has paved the way for sodomy in our country. I don't think that's very good. That's against God's will. Right? So we've been preaching against feminism for over a decade. When a decade ago it wasn't cool, it was just starting to be cool maybe. To come out of the closet culturally. But it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't that way when we were in school, and that wasn't that long ago. I'm 43. I'm not that old. It wasn't that way then. So, but what was cool was feminism was cool, right? But you start praying about this stuff. It's fun. It's fun. And you know what? No one can stop it. No one can stop it. Right? This is the most powerful thing to do, to pray by faith, to live by faith. Surely we want revival. Well, maybe God wants to revive you in your prayer closet. You ever think about that?
Amen.
He's in secret will reward you openly. We have much to pray about. Much to pray about. Much to invest in His kingdom come. His will be done. And as you go through that, you think it could get dangerous and scary? Sure. I don't know. All kinds of stuff happened, but this was the promise. I will hide you, I'll preserve you, and you shall surround me with songs of deliverance. That's how you know He's delivering you. Your kingdom come, your will be done. The Bible says, Paul said, through much tribulation we must enter the kingdom. Right? We know it's suffering. We know there's trials. We know there's tribulations. But God promises something. To those who have faith, He will what? He will guide us. Verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. That's what I need. I need to be a leader. And how do you lead in a bunch of sheep that are following the culture? A bunch of sheep that don't know they're not sheep in a biblical sense. I guess they're goats. But they don't know their left hand from the right hand. Right? And God calls us to come out from among them, be separate. It's this right here. As you believe the gospel, as you confess your sin, He'll guide you. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. How do I interact with this culture? I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. To preach the gospel and make disciples. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. With my eye. What's the analogy there? Well, when you're guiding with your eye, it'd be like as a father to his son. The father kind of goes like this. And the son knows. Go get that. Right? And the father goes like this. Squints his eye. No. And the son, the obedient son, would stop. I want to be that responsive to the will of God because I'm trusting Him by faith that all He has to do is kind of go, I don't think so. Okay. Or go get him. Now's your time, Jason. You want to make a difference for the kingdom? You see that guy standing there? I've ordained you to witness to him. But guess what I have to do? I have to have the faith to do it. How does that work all out? I don't know. I don't have to know, but I know it does. If I don't have the faith to go and do that, even though God ordained it, would it happen? Dumb question. Because I don't know what God ordained in His secret will. I know what He's ordained in His moral will. And His moral will says, go in all the world and preach the gospel. So I don't have to wrestle with that. So from my perspective, if you're living and breathing, you should be worshiping God. And if you're not, there's a problem. God's word says, go and make disciples. See what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, do I have the faith now to arrest these opportunities, to take advantage of the opportunities? Man, that's where I want to be. And if I pray like that, I'll live like that. And if I live like that, whoo! That's to the glory of God. Now, do I fall and falter and lack faith? Absolutely. But boy, isn't it fun to get up and confess my sin and get back in the game? Right? Christianity is not a spectator sport. See, the problem is, if you're not confessing your sin and believing the gospel and being instructed by God, you'll be like, verse 9, do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. If you have unconfessed sin in your life, you'll be like the horse. And what does a horse always want to do? Run ahead. Right? Running. They're hard to catch. You got to get a bit and bridle and just to get them to do what you want them to do. The horse is always going ahead. If you can get on the horse, they're full speed ahead, right? Not so much the mule. The mule, they tried to get the mule to go. What's the mule do? I ain't going anywhere. Right? Don't be like that. I'm digging my heels. That's scary. I might lose my job. I might lose my children. Pray in faith and live in faith. What else do you have? Yourself? There's no other choice. You can wander in the desert and die. Or you can go into the promised land. Amen. Right? Most people will not go in the promised land. Most people in the church won't make it by faith. Most people won't pray by faith and live by faith. Most people are messing around in their life, trying to get what they can get out of their life, trying to get what they can get out of God for their own selfish purposes. Okay, welcome to American Christianity. That's how it is. Okay, but for those who believe the gospel, confess their sin, God says, I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way you should go. And it will not be like all the horses that are running ahead into creative Christianity, thinking of all these ideas to do revival and to make things happen, to make all these fun things happen. Let's make Christianity fun. Let's make Christianity entertaining. Let's do all this stuff to hype it up. Because spiritual disciplines take discipline. They're horses running away. They got to be bit and bridled just to bring them back. Or like the mule. I'm not doing that. That's not. We never did that before. We can't do that. We can't do this. No, no, no. Brakes, brakes, brakes. How do you think you should do that? Do you think you could just go do that? Who do you think you are? You think you can go into all the world and make disciples? You think you can raise up your children? You can't do that. All the naysayers, the mules, right? No, 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 no. Don't be like that. Let God direct you with His eye. Let Him direct you with the Spirit of the living God, defined by the Word of God. Say, and God just says this, Rob, go there. Aspect, go there. Right? How does He do that? Through His providence. He places you in places. He places you in Coolidge. He places you in the construction site. He gives you jobs that test you to the core of your being in His providence. Right? And He gives them to you. He gives them to you. And He takes things away. And He prunes. Why? Because He wants to see if you'll be faithful to His eyes. Will you be faithful to His eyes and His eyes alone? Who's the one who gives you these opportunities? God does. He's testing us. He's testing us to see if we'll be faithful to Him. And if we're faithful to Him, we will overcome in every arena that He places us in, either in life or in death. Let's be faithful. Let's be faithful to the end. Many sorrows shall come to the wicked. Okay? But he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. That's the end. The end of the wicked is what? Sorrows. Those who trust in the Lord, mercy. So what should we be? Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Hallelujah. That's it. That's it. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace. Father, we pray now as we pray together that you would, that your Spirit would rest upon us in such a way that we would pray prayers of faith. We've had this wonderful opportunity to advance in our prayer life. To advance, to be alone before you today. Before your eyeballs and your eyeballs alone. And now we gather together, not to be seen by men, but to come together before your throne of grace and pray, Our Father who art in heaven, as you instructed your church in 1 Timothy 2, you want the men to come together without wrath and doubting. So may we come together, confessing our sins, no anger, and no doubts, but come boldly before your throne of grace, and we cry out to you, O God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. May we take the horns of the altar and not let go until you bless us this night. In Jesus' name, amen.